Happy birthday to the credit crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It may not be a cause for cake, but this week marks the one-year anniversary of the credit crunch and the subprime lending crisis. This time last year, French bank BNP Paribas closed two of its mortgage-backed investment funds, banks stopped lending to each other, and the European Central Bank had to step in and pump more than $100 billion into the money markets. The Federal Reserve in this country soon followed suit. Since then, banks have written off nearly $500 billion in bad investments. This morning, more of the same from Barclays of Britain. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Another day, another $4.9 billion written off by Barclays, and profits 33% down. Not surprising, Barclays has been more heavily involved in rarefied financial products than most British banks. But what is surprising, the bank's shares rose more than 5% on the news. Analyst Richard Hunter says the figures were better than expected. And other recent results from British banks have also been less than catastrophic. Maybe, just maybe, the worst of the credit crunch is behind us.
As time goes on, as more of these bank reports come through, and as those vestiges of doubt slowly and one by one get removed, it's fair to say that there could well be some sign of a glimmer of hope at the end of the tunnel.
But confidence remains brittle, and what is clear, the world of credit has probably changed for good. Some of the world's top banks have just drawn up a plan to restrict the complex financial products that helped trigger the crisis a year ago. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Credit problems continue on this side of the pond as well. American International Group reported a quarterly loss of nearly $5.5 billion. The insurance giant also said it lost $6 billion in investment money, mostly because of declines in the value of mortgage-linked securities. Despite all that grim news, the markets are accentuating the positive this morning. Thanks in part to low oil prices, investors are feeling good. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 0.3%, and this morning, European markets are on the rise. London's FTSE is up 0.5%, Germany's DAX is up 0.3%, Paris's CAC 40 is up more than 1%. The markets may be feeling healthy, but Americans aren't, at least not about our healthcare system. So says a new survey from the Commonwealth Fund. Stephen Henn has more.
Karen Davis, president of the Commonwealth Fund, says for much of the last two decades, policymakers in Washington have looked to market forces to improve health care.
Well, we've done that. The numbers of uninsured have grown. The number of underinsured have grown. The number of people with medical debts has grown. And health care costs have gone up.
The survey found that 80% of Americans believe the system needs an overhaul.
And I think it goes well beyond insurance coverage.
Nearly three quarters report problems getting their calls returned by doctors, booking appointments, or finding care on weekends. Most say their physicians don't talk to each other, share results, or have easy access to their medical records. And 9 out of 10 Americans say they want the next president to do something. While both Barack Obama and John McCain have detailed health care plans that would try to improve communication and primary care, Davis says neither candidate's plan does enough to bring costs down. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And speaking of health, it's becoming something of a mandate in some cities. Here in Los Angeles, for example, we've banned trans fats, barred fast food restaurants from opening in some parts of town, and now eateries might have to bear all. There's a new proposal on the table that would require some restaurant chains to put a calorie count on menus. New York, Seattle, and San Francisco are already doing that. Hey, I'm all for sensible eating, but don't you think when it comes to things like pasta bolognese, French fries, and chocolate cake, ignorance really is bliss?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
Oil prices are up a bit this morning, hovering around $120 a barrel, but they're still nearly 20% lower than they were at their peak last month. And drivers are getting a break. AAA says gas is now averaging about $3.86 a gallon. That's still a lot more than it was last year, which means gas station owners are making a killing, right? Wrong. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has more.
We just make it. We end the month to pay the expenses, salary, taxes, and Carlos manages this mobile station in Queens, which, looking at all the big cars filling their tanks, you'd think would be pulling in millions.
465 for super, 455 for special, and 439 for regular.
Multiply any of those numbers by a couple of tankfuls, and, well, it seems like a lot of money, except it's just not.
People driving less. People take the public transportation.
It's a tough time to be a gas station owner. I know, it costs more every time you fill up your tank, but record high prices means it costs owners more to fill the pumps. They say profit margins haven't moved. Paul Fiore directs the Service Station Dealers of America. It's an umbrella group of gas station owners' associations.
Unfortunately, the idea in most retail of a percentage-based markup never really took hold.
Gas station owners say they're still only making a dime or 12 cents on every gallon they sell. And because people are driving less, stations are selling less gas. There's another problem, too. More people are using credit cards to pay for the gas. Nobody really wants to drive around with $75 in cash, and the credit card lets them put off paying for a while. The problem for gas station owners is that credit card fees are calculated as a percentage of the purchase, which means they're making even less money on each gallon they sell. Paul Fiore says the only way to survive is to branch out by buying more gas stations or offering more services at the ones you already have.
I feel very, very sorry for anyone who's just doing gasoline with no other sales right now.
But Carlos says at his gas station, even that's not enough. Besides the pumps, he's got a service station, a tow truck, and a convenience store. He says times are so tough, they're even counting the quarters from the air pump and the vacuums. In Whitestone, New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you have a question or a comment for us, send us an email at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.